Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're talking about how to determine the structure for a new investment offering. We often hear about the so-called 2-in-20 formula that's popular among fund managers. When we say 2-in-20, that refers to a 2% asset management fee measured on the value of the fund, plus a 20% carried interest in the ownership of the fund. For many funds, that 2% fee is actually an annual fee. Over the 10-year life of a fund, that fee can amount to 20% of the original investment. That means investors get 80% of the profits in the fund. Naturally, for that formula to work, the fund needs to generate enough returns for the investors to more than make up for the fees being charged by the fund manager. In publicly listed funds that are considered liquid, fund managers sometimes charge a 7% upfront fee. Investors can sell at any time after the first year, but they're clearly going to pay a penalty for selling early. Well, that's all in the world of mutual funds. The fund managers are merely placing money in an operating business. They perform their due diligence on the investments and the teams, and they sprinkle their funds across a number of investments. The fund manager doesn't do any of the heavy lifting associated with running the active business. In the world of real estate investments, sometimes there can be a fund which will invest in several projects, but more often, the investment is in a single asset. It might be an apartment complex or a storage facility or a land development or an industrial building. This requires active management of the business. And I sometimes see that same 2-in-20 being applied to a single asset investment. But in truth, there is no real industry standard. Whatever structure you can imagine and investors will embrace can work, as long as it's compliant with securities regulations. Now, on today's show, we're going to talk through the thought process that goes into determining how to design an investment offering. When we think about investment offering, we're thinking about matching the goals for the project with the goals of our ideal investor. We need to know our investors well enough to know what they're looking for. And when we're talking about offerings, there's a number of considerations that come into play. Sure, the fees and the ownership splits form part of that, but there's other things in it that are just as important, if not more important. First consideration is the waterfall. This is a fancy way of saying the order of precedence for any money coming out of the project. So first of all, let's talk about sponsor fees and the purpose behind sponsor fees. These fees are not the path for the deal sponsor to get rich, or at least they shouldn't be. The purpose of the fees is to feed the vital functions of the business, of the project. If one or more of the deal sponsors were to get sick and couldn't work, there needs to be a pot of money within the project budget to hire the necessary skills to complete the project. And if that money isn't in the budget, then the investment's actually at risk. All of the vital functions need to be funded, otherwise the risk of failure is quite real. If the deal sponsor is competent to perform those functions, then it's perfectly fair for the sponsor to receive those fees. It doesn't have to involve hiring an independent third party. Now, as always, in virtually every jurisdiction, there can be no hidden compensation of the sponsor, and everything must be fully disclosed. Next is the concept of return of capital and preferred returns to investors. This money comes from the profit in excess of expenses, debt service, taxes, and operating reserves. Prioritizing repayment of investor capital ahead of other distributions, including sponsor distributions, clearly improves the risk profile for investors. It can make a good investment sense to prioritize this in the waterfall. Then there's the concept of a preferred return. This can be calculated as a percentage of the outstanding capital. Think of it almost like an interest rate or setting a floor on the rate of return to investors. Now, it's not a guarantee because it can only be paid out if the business generates enough net income to pay it. But in an ideal world, the project would generate enough profit to more than pay out the preferred return. So if the management team is adding more value to the project than, say, a fund manager who would get 20% of the profits, what is a fair profit split for the investor and the sponsor? Again, there's no hard and fast rule. I've seen everything from 70-30 to 60-40 to even 50-50. I've seen virtually every split you can imagine. So how do you decide? Well, the first thing to consider is whether the investor's interest and the sponsor's interest are aligned. That refers to alignment of the interest on both the upside and the downside. Does the sponsor have skin in the game? And that can take multiple forms. If the sponsors put in some of their own money, well, that is a form of skin in the game. If the sponsor's personally guaranteeing the debt, that's another form of skin in the game. If the profit split for the sponsor is too low, then the structure is creating an incentive for the sponsor to be working for their fees, and that's not in alignment with the investor's goal. I personally don't recommend too low a split for the sponsors. As always, we work backwards from the financial forecast for the project to determine whether the project is going to generate the expected returns for investors. And this is the thought process we go through in determining how to structure a new investment offering. It's never one size fits all. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.